Okay, the tape recorder is on, basically, the digital one. Give it a couple of minutes here for people to get that last sip of coffee and cinnamon bun.
Hi, Dinah. Hey, Ralph.
Dinah and Ralph have joined the meeting. Thank you,
And you can start now.
guys.
Just kidding.
You got your coffee in front of you, Dinah?
No, my iced tea. I've been up for a while.
Ah, okay. So have I, since 1:30 this morning.
Well, I'm not.
Had a medical call.
No.
And let's get started. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 9:03. And I'm going to ask for a motion for the approval of the agenda. Kathy, you want to make that motion? Okay, I'll second the motion.
So you want me? I'll make the motion to approve the agenda.
Yep, I'll second. All in, any discussion? Okay, all
in favor?
Yep, all in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Ian. I just want to let you know I just called in. Not to interrupt, but Ian.
Hey Ian, what's
hey guys.
Number?
Thank you, Ian. We're just gonna
yep.
capture your number and put a name beside it so that if you call in weekly, we automatically know who you are.
Okay.
Perfect.
Hey, thank you for joining, Ian.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So we just began, Ian, and we approved the agenda, and we're going to get started right with both you and Chris. I'm going to give the
okay.
microphone to Chris. Chris is going to give us a status report. We saw some emails that came in this morning from Chris. So, Chris, you've got the microphone, so go ahead.
Yep. So what I sent you is the requested number one that needs to be signed by you, Jay, and then forwarded that whole package to Rick Skorenka. So the work completed to date is $276,529.50. We're getting 24% of that. So in this disbursement to DDS, we were getting $66,367.08 back as part of the $295 grant from the Groundwater Trust.
Okay.
And
so,
Go ahead,
Chris.
So just to, so what the difference is in my email, so there's a difference of $210,162.42 that needs to be submitted to the band with Greg Iam as far as the, however you want to call it, the bond or whatever you guys have to make up that difference. What we need to do, Donna, and then in my emails, we need to set up, because you must have given them in this whole process for like DES, you gave them a routing number. So
yep.
that $66,000 check will be routed into this account that you're going to have. Hopefully, it's the same thing with Greg Iam with his money. It's going to go into this account, and it has to be an interest bearing type account. So
yeah.
the way the DES specs work, we're going to be retaining 10% of the construction dollars till we get the 50% of the job. At 50% of the job, we don't take out any more money. And when the job's complete, then we'll have a net of 5% in retainage. Again, and then just to go for the future, and then after substantial completion, you know, later on, that 5% gets reduced to 2% for the one-year warranty, just to kind of give you a tracking on how the funds go. So, again, it's, you know, we're not dealing with a lot of money, but if you were doing, say, a $10 million wastewater treatment plant and you had 2% of that for a year of retainage, then the contractors end up getting a little bit of interest. But it's kind of a token gesture. You know, they may get $20 of interest after this. So.
Okay, so just to educate myself and the public, this is called the retainage account, right?
Yes. Yep. It's a retainage account of the money. So it's an interest bearing account. Typically what you do is anytime you're getting money from any type of a bond, grant, loan, or anything like that, you always ask for 100%. We don't ask for the retainage because the state and the bonding companies aren't in the interest bearing account type predicament. So if you look at, say, the one from Dawson where he took 10% out and asked for 200, if you go to their first page for Dawson in that email, their total amount was the $255,559.50, and they took 10% out. We want that 10% to go in our piggy bank, not at the state level, because it gets too confusing for the bean counters at the state level. So we ask for everything between the bond and the grant now, and then again it goes into that account. So just if that makes sense to you guys, that's why you'll see it crossed off in red, and I've changed it to the total amount.
Yeah, I saw that.
But yep. So when you actually do get the money, Donna, we're actually only going to give them the $230,003. And that $25,555.95 would stay in that account in the routing.
Okay.
Okay. So just as go ahead,
yeah,
Kathy.
So do we already have a separate account set up outside of our operating budget account for the monies going into and out of for the tank project? Now, is Chris saying that we should probably set up another account for just that retainage to keep it separate?
I would, because it has to be, usually we just keep that routing number. Is there any other funds in that routing number you gave DES?
No, it's only the funds for the project in that one routing number that we currently have, $388,800.
Oh, that's from the band number? That's right, that was the number from Greg Iron.
That was the bridge loan, the bridge loan amount.
Yep.
So I have the same question as Kathy. Do we have to now establish another account called retainage for the disbursement of that $388,800?
Well, not for the disbursement of it, to hold the 10% retainage in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to have a kind of a contractor's retainage account, and that would go both for, I mean, it's interest. We could split the interest up between DN Tank Contract 1 and Dawson Tank Contract 2 because it's going to be the same percentage going back to them. We actually may want to start two separate accounts. I don't know how confusing that's going to be.
So, Dinah,
I have to think about that with two different contracts going on. I mean, interest is interest. I don't think it really is going to matter because interest is a percentage of a dollar.
Right.
If we retain $1 from DN Tanks and $1 from Dawson's and it sits for a year and we get 50 cents, we'll just split the 50 cents up and we give them $1,200 back. Does that make sense to the commission?
Yeah, it does. Now, Dinah, are you getting all this?
Doesn't make sense to me, but we'll figure it out. It's kind of the sound isn't that good. So
okay.
I've been asking about this for about 6 months, and I haven't had any reply. And now all of a sudden we're supposed to do a retainage. I want to make sure that Greg Iam and DES have our new account number, because nothing should be going in or out of our operating account anymore. Everything project driven is going in and out of that new account. Now.
Right.
That is an interest-bearing municipal account. Leaving that 10% in there, though, you don't want to do because you want a separate retainage account. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Two separate retainage accounts, one for each contract, so the tank itself and then all the other site work and pipeline.
Okay. And how, Chris, are these going to be funded?
Well, they're going to be funded through the 388. So right now you're going to end up giving, well, I guess you already have the money. The 388 is already there, so you don't have to worry about the $210,162.42. So they're getting funded through the bond and the grant. So I think the full bond is sometime in August. That 388 switches over to the 860. You have to give me the 864,
right, yep.
I believe. Yep.
We have to pay the ban off when we get the ban on the loan.
Right. So yeah. So I think that matures or that comes available in the middle of August. So the 388 was enough. I use the word seed money to get us through June and July with the start of construction to try to minimize, you know, your interest costs.
Yeah, I get that.
Yep.
However,
it sounds like if Dawson's is looking for $220,000, we take $220,000 out of this new account, give him 90% of it, and take the other 10% and put it into the new retained account.
Right.
Is that correct?
Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, I guess it's. I kind of leave that how you guys. Typically, I know most of my clients will just again set up that separate number, the sort of interest bearing. It keeps it cleaner that way, and that way when the project, you know, 100% complete after the 1 year warranty, a year from now, you're giving him his 2% retainage and whatever interest right directly out. So yeah, so it would probably be better to do two separate interest-bearing accounts for Dawson and DN Tanks, and that way they're earning their own interest separately. Because again, they're, you know, we hold 2% from a year of substantial completion. So let's say DN Tank is substantially complete in September. At that point in time, we would hold 2% till September of 2021.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
And that 2% will be taken out of our project account and put in that retainage.
Correct, and then whatever interest it bears, you know, again, you know, their construction cost is $388,000. So I mean, it's not a lot of money, but.
And you want two of them, one for DN Tank and the other for Dawson.
Yes, please.
Okie doke.
Okay. And so, Chris, as far as the amount of work and completion, have you verified, and I believe there's a form that you fill out as well, right? The significant amount of completion?
Actually, that's it. Those forms, I've signed those, so... As far as the engineer, we've signed off on those two. So just so you know, DES actually goes into a audit from, that's why I think you guys got those emails too, from June 15th to July, the middle of July. There'll be no payment requisitions because they do an EPA audit. So you're going to have this disbursement now, but then you're not going to have another one until almost the end of July.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're going to see, you know, the project pretty well underway at that point. Because again, you know, just to reiterate, DN Tanks, just you know, they notified us that they actually not starting for that last week in June.
Okay, so DES is going to have an internal audit, which puts them on hold pretty much from June 15th to July 15th. So we will not expect, the district will not expect a reimbursement check of 24% of monies paid out until sometime late in July, I believe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it'll probably almost be closer to the first week in August.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you sign these and get these over to Rick Skorenka, if you sign that disbursement form, I put today's date in there for you. But you have to make sure you email both the pay recs and that form when you send it to Rick. And if you can copy me on it just so I can keep a paper trail on it. Then Rick processes it. So that's why everyone's scrambling right now to get this all in by the June 15th deadline.
Yeah. I saw the email from you and the form of completion, work completed. And I, to be honest with you, I haven't read the form and the amount of work that's been completed, nor have I gone up to the site to verify that. But you need this signed today or this week?
In the next couple of days, that's fine. I mean, I just
okay.
put today's date. You can always change that.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Because I'd like to at least verify what is on the form, and maybe Kelly can help me if we go take a drive up there. If we have any questions, I'll ask Kelly or the office to reach out to you if we have any questions with regard to the amount of completion. So, Kathy, I'd like to entertain a motion to sign this document out of session. Doesn't have to be right now during this meeting, but I think we have some things to look at and get familiar with this process, and then also just do a site visit as well, just to verify everything. Dot the I's and
okay,
cross
so,
the T.
Well, so the motion is to sign the document out of session.
Yes.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, Jay, I was gonna prior to seeing this very professional-looking document, I was starting to put together a spreadsheet so that some of the smaller things that we've been doing that we want to apply to the grant for reimbursement to kind of keep track of that, like the ledge probes and the work that was done at DPW1, what was the other thing, possibly that extension of the water line on Barden. So are those smaller things that we should forward to Chris so that he can include them in the application for the reimbursement?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Chris will probably
have some
opinion.
I didn't put those in, but like all, you know, like we can do that on the next one, but all my JBE invoices, those are all eligible. And then the ledge probes, it's anything connected. If you read how the grants work written, I don't know, what are you talking about as far as the DPW work?
We had a water line break and had to reroute one of the water lines, and it also reduced one of the, eliminated one of the bleeders. So we improved our water system at that location to the tight tank. I don't know if that's
Ian.
Yep.
A lot of noise.
Yeah. Are you driving? Something's coming out of you.
I am.
We can't hear.
Yeah.
I'll put you on mute.
Sorry.
All right,
okay.
That's all right.
Thank you.
I can.
Okay. So Ian's on mute.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So there were some other small, isolated projects throughout the district that we were anticipating being able to include for that 24% reimbursement for other water system improvement projects that occurred.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you. It's the 295 is 24% of the overall project cost that had the 100,000+ of contingency built into it. So you're taking, you know, that out of that. So it's still there. Anything that takes, like you said, if you read how the grant was written, bleeders, engineering work, the ledge probes are all eligible. So how you kind of chew up the pot is up to the commission.
Okay. But what's included in this initial disbursement is it does not include anything other than the engineering time, zones and beach time.
I didn't even throw it in at this point. I just threw in the quick two disbursements just from a time standpoint.
Okay.
On the next one, we can try to, if you look at that form, where the first cost is administrative cost, and that would be the engineering. If you read on the second page, No, you maybe didn't get the second page. I can get you the second page, and it talks about, you know, engineering costs and all that that go
okay.
into reimbursement. But typically, the administrative costs would be any type of engineering, which is all eligible.
Okay. Okay. All right. I just didn't know if I should be, we should be keeping track of all of that, or if your office is coordinating all of that.
No, I don't have. I think when you get the final bill from like SW Cole for the ledge probes, you know, you just, you know, send that to me. Any of the other bills for the waterline work, send to me. And that way, I try to do is do it as a single PDF, so it's kind of a clear format for when Rick Skorenka sees it.
Okay. Yep. I agree. Okay.
And I usually, you know, I have this in Word, and I usually, you know, type these up, and it's good for me to kind of keep track, because I'm kind of a bean counter too, and I want to make sure, you know, all the apples and oranges are adding up, and there's nothing out there that kind of bites me from a funding standpoint.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a. I think that would be. It certainly makes more sense to have you coordinate all of that since you've done this before.
Okay.
Jay? Jay, this is
yes.
Dinah. Could you and Kathy make a formal motion to open up the two retainage accounts? I will need that for the bank.
Okay, I'll make that motion that we open up two retainage accounts with interest-bearing accounts, one for DN Tanks and the other for contract number two. Both contract one and contract two, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Do I have a second on the motion?
DN Tanks and Dawson would be okay, too, as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Dawson, yep.
Okay. Do I have a second on the motion?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll second
any
that.
Thank you, Kathy. Any discussion? All right. Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that motion passes. So, Dinah, if you could create those two retainage accounts, we'd appreciate that very much.
Okie doke.
Thank you. Okay, Chris, you still have the microphone, so what else
yep.
you got?
I just kind of threw in as far as, you know, again, DN Tanks isn't starting the June 29th. Dawson's is moving right along. They're getting 200 to 300 feet of 4-inch HDP in every day, working their way up the hill on Birkenstock up to the intersection with Reinike. Again, the ledge probes were conducted. You saw I was up there the other day with you, Jay, and so that
yep.
work is done on the different sections. I'm going to start plotting some ledge profiles on those areas to get an idea of, you know, what the ledge is going to look like. And then, you know, for the office, they are tentatively planned on blasting at the winding track next Tuesday. So
okay.
just so that you guys are aware of that, you know, if that time changes, we'll make sure the office is aware of that. But
okay.
That was kind of a thing. We wanted to make sure that you guys are aware of that.
Yeah. I have an email blast, if you will, already typed up and waiting for the confirmation. I'll send that out to the property owners.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because I think the one person on Reinike, the closest one, he's only there on weekends, but they're all over the 500-foot distance. So as far as a pre-blast survey, they didn't need to do any type of foundation inspections. But, again, it's something when we start getting in on some of the streets, for blasting, then it's going to be prudent that they're you know, the actual blaster has to go door to door at that point. So.
Mm-hmm. So, meaning what streets? Meaning the ones that you're doing probing on currently, outside
yeah,
of the Reinhardt?
Yeah, it'll be the top end of Birkenstock. There might be a little bit, and then going down Aspen. And then going up Reinike, I haven't plotted the information. Ian, he took a picture of it the other day, and I've got to start plotting that on my maps and develop a ledge profile to really see what we're looking at.
Okay. All right.
We talked Monday, so there's really not too much has changed. I did send an overall project email out the other day. Again, Jay and I and Kelly, we talked about, you know, the culvert work. So, I mean, I think that's something that should officially be submitted to the, you know, to the commission, that we are discussing possibly replacing those culverts. But let's get through the main line and know what the ledge is like. The ledge is the big, you know, ticket number that can go one way or the other. So once we get the main line in, we'll have a better idea of how that contingency looks, and then we can start, you know, moving forward from there. Dawson's going to provide a cost estimate. I guess they counted, and I had no idea it was that high, but there's 30, almost 33 culverts along the proposed waterline route. And, you know, with Kelly and Jay the other day, there's the one at the Salins is in pretty bad shape. After he gives us that list, I'm going to go through and inventory them and kind of prioritize that list of, you know, which ones are new ADS pipe that's been replaced and which ones are really in bad shape. And the ones that are in bad shape, I'll also look at a hydraulics of, you know, if what they should be upsized to as far as planning for, you know, climate change and new rainfall intensities that have been happening. You know, we like to get in there, replace a culvert, do it right the first time, and upsize it if we need to.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Chris. Just so folks know, Kelly and I and Chris, you know, we had the discussion. I think the perception was that when this new water main went in, they were going to be disturbing a significant amount of culverts, and that they would simply be removed and replaced as part of the contract. As I read the contract on page 95 of the 361-page bid specification, it clearly states that culverts and drainage would only be replaced if damaged by the contractor. So what's happening is that the culverts actually aren't even being removed at all. The contractor is able to dig on either side and basically remove the material underneath the culvert in order to pass through the water main. So I've never seen that done before, but that's pretty cool. But in doing so, there was one culvert, and we'll probably find more like it. It was a metal culvert. I'm not sure of the age, but I would anticipate about 50-year-old. And the bottom of it was completely rotted out like the bottom of an old 25-year-old Chevy. So the water was pouring through it and into the trench, and contractor was able to wrap it with some fabric so that we don't get any infiltration of silt and sand back into the pipe as it continues to flow. So we're going to have to take a look at, as Chris just mentioned, all the culverts that probably need to be replaced in the fall when they do the lateral cuts in the road to connect service lines. And just so the taxpayers know, that would have to either come out of contingency fund or somewhere else in our budget. Because I think there was an anticipation that that was all part of the contract. I just wanted to make that clear to everybody. Okay? Chris, what else you got?
That's pretty about it. I mean, I think the biggest milestone right now is that you're seeing your first the week of June 1st disbursement. Again, we did talk Monday, so really status quo, not too much. I think the key for the district is that we're blasting on Tuesday. I think that's the main point for the public.
Yeah, so I have a quick question with regards to the road closures and the work today. So they're almost up to Biasca Place, which is a dead-end road off of Burstenstock. Have we been calling in, have yourself or the contractor been calling in the sheriff's department to make sure that they know about the road closure?
Yep, letting them know every day of what where we are. That way, you know, emergency service vehicles, they should be letting you know, you know, when they call, like you say, on the fire department, that, you know, that where they're working. So he calls in every day. I also asked him to let the office know. So that I shot Jake an email this morning when he gave me his update. So Donna, he'll be also contacting you guys just so you know, as the magic bus kind of drives down the road, you kind of know, you know, where they are, just for the, you know, the office's own, you know, sight of mind, on where they're at. And, so they can get around that road, that side road isn't physically closed, so they can go all the way around the other way and still get at it. So they're making sure at least if there's a road closure in where they're working, at least traffic can get around in the opposite direction.
Okay. Yeah, because I was worried about the folks on Biasca, that they may have been forgotten. I was up there yesterday.
That was my worry this morning with Jake. He's like, no, they can get more. They're on the other side. And luckily, the pipe is on the outside edge. So they can get through that intersection coming up the hill now.
Biasca's actually off Adelboden, isn't it?
Yes, I'm sorry. Adelboden is off of Bristenstark and then Biasca.
I'm still figuring out the fancy road names.
Yeah, and Chris, I owe you a link to the tax map, so that will help you out, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you.
Kelly's here, by the way, so I think he has some questions.
I don't want to keep harping, Chris. You know, I'm not trying to be a complainer, but either Dawson replaces some of these culverts or we do, it only makes sense to do it before the road's buttoned up and finalized. No reason to dig the road twice.
Exactly.
This is going to come to a fall project, and we don't know if we're going to have the – you don't know if you're going to have the money to do it. I need to know. So it's going to be sooner than later that I need to start planning for this.
Yep. No, I think once we get mainline in, I mean, we're talking weeks, and you know, probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'll know with the ledge. I don't want to you know, promise culverts and then have, I'm just throwing numbers out, saying $100,000 in a ledge all of a sudden. I don't want to, you know, from that standpoint. But I think in you know, say, like I say, 2 to 3 weeks, he's moving right along. I mean, he's almost a third of the way done on the 4,400 feet of pipe. Of course, you know, when we start hitting the ledge areas, things are going to slow down. But, you know, like I said, once we get done with Ryan Eich and Aspen on mainline, then we'll have a really good picture of what we encountered for ledge and where that contingency is, and then commit. I mean, I don't think you're going to spend $100,000 on the ledge. There's a hope not. So I know at least the culvert that you and I and Jay looked at and Salins, I mean, that's a given. That one's got to get replaced. Just for the fact, you know, like what Jay said, as far as the rotten bottom.
Right.
So, yeah.
My frustration, Chris, is that a lot of this should have been known. I don't, you know, it's confusing to me that we got a $1 million project and we're already talking about contingency money being spent on the ledge. Should have been known ahead of time, I would think. I don't know why ledge probes are being done after project started, but it is. So I'm going to scramble to tighten everything up, and I don't want to be cleaning up. You're going to have to let these guys know that they can't leave boulders in the woods. Anything that rolls off has to be retrieved. I have to when I do a job, so that I would expect they would too. I see a lot of big rocks that they're losing and they're rolling down the hillsides, and that's private people's property, so they have to come out. Right? Not being picky, but that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just let me know, and I'll pass it along. Yep.
Yeah. But I would not want to tear the road up twice, and I know you understand that. Some of the smaller pipes should be replaced, not because they're failing, but because they're undersized. And as we do road work, when we do road work, we replace these when we're in the area. So I don't know how we want to continue with that. I wish I'd known, but I don't. But I know that they need to get done before the road gets buttoned up at the end of this project.
Yep, because, again, we still have all the service laterals to do. So he's far from being done in the roads to begin with.
Okay.
And just one other thing that I have, a couple of things I have, Chris, is I know the ditch line that Kelly has established, especially on that upslope side on Bristenstock, like Kelly had mentioned, a few small eggs, size of beach balls, have rolled into that. But also, after the road was regraded, a lot of material has gone back into that ditch where Kelly had previously put down a lot of riprap stone. And I just want to make sure if we get a heavy thunderstorm or what have you, that we don't we don't clog those culverts that are still existing in the ground, and then have the road get damaged by heavy rain. So is there any plan as far as putting up either siltation fences or hay bales to keep that drainage ditch that was established working and working properly?
Is that where I'm just trying to picture where we're at. Is that right where we're at right now, or is that what section?
Yeah.
From out of the main intersection, that wide intersection, we have a 30-foot pipe that we replaced last year that has constant flow. There's a lot of silt getting into that pipe. It's not a fun pipe to clean. They reestablished the ditch just fine, but it's a dirt ditch now. It used to be erosion stone lined.
Okay.
Just things like that. That I'm sure that they may not. They don't know the history to know what that ditch is going to do, but I do. That
yep.
culvert's going to fill.
I think it was about 60 foot long, 60 or 80.
That pipe is 60 feet.
60 feet. Yeah.
So just things like that. They need to be watched.
So yeah.
I see no erosion control at all being put down.
The other question I had, Chris, was...
erosion control is, one of the incidentals of the work they have to do. So if they've got to put some hay bale check dams up, we'll get that put in.
Yeah.
All right. I've seen work done in here before, and I'm used to sometimes seeing a trench box used. And I'm just wondering why a trench box isn't used on this project.
Well, what's good about the HDPE, it really limits the amount of time, because I went over that with him the other day, too, is it's hard because, again, it's curved pipe because we're trying to work, and that's the advantage of HDPE pipe where you actually fuse it up on the ground and you're bringing the sand in. So it really minimizes the amount of time of a laborer in the trench. I think they had when they cut the pipe member and they had to go underneath the culvert and fuse it, it was probably the only one time. But with the curves that they're doing, a trench box wouldn't work because they're trying to really curve the pipe to go with the road. It's their requirements as far as OSHA maintaining that, 4.5 foot safety to height. We may want to do is have a smaller.
That's on them if they get caught.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. They're OSHA. It's all in the specifications as far as being OSHA compliant.
Okay.
But if you look at how that trench is so curved, you would never be able to get say a 20-foot box in the hole. They probably should have a smaller box just laying around just for the one or two times they actually have to go in the trench.
I hate trench boxes, Chris. Any contractor hates a trench box, but especially in here, Big Brother's watching. So I'd hate for anyone to get in trouble over it.
Yeah. No, waterline is kind of a – waterlines are always that kind of iffy thing because you're right at that, 4.5, 5 foot depth. Here we're 6 feet, but, it's that whole borderline. If we were doing a sewer job and we were 6, 7, 8, 10 feet deep, the last job I just did with Dawson's, they had trench boxes for all the sewer line work. So you're at that marginal requirement. But what's nice about the HDP pipe is you're actually fusing everything up on the ground and kind of just laying that in as you go.
Okay. Anything else, Kelly?
No.
Donna?
Oh.
Chris?
I'm good. I hope we have a good weekend. I'm probably planning on coming out next Tuesday for the blast. Like I said, what I'm trying to do is between E and myself is I'm going to at least be up there once a week, depending on milestones. As the project unfolds, once they have the after the blasting, they've got it all set. DN Tanks and myself are going to come up, and we're going to do a kind of a sub ledge grade sign off on the pad before they start bringing in their stone. And then they're really going to just finish up. They're almost pretty much done at the site up there. The only thing left they have to do is just finish blasting ledge, which is its item, it's its own item on its own.
Okay. And not to change subjects, but Kelly and I heard a little something this week about a possible change in the design or the plan with respect to Upper Lakeview pressure reducing valve. I don't know if Chris, if you want to talk to that, or if Ian's better positioned to talk about that.
I think it's something that Ian and I really need to look at the drawings, and I think what we're going to do is we'll formulate a better plan and bring it back to the commissioners. It was a thought process, and Ian, if you want to chime in, but I think
this was essentially an off the cuff. We were doing the ledge probes up there. I actually walked the Rigi line that was installed. I don't know, whatever it was, that cross connection you got, that cross country line that was run. Dawson was actually part of that through LRW. So that's the connection line that goes from Upper Lakeview down to West Bergamo, and trying to get a better grip on what that's doing. I think that what we've realized over the time here is that the PRV is currently feeding all the way down to West Bergamo and all the way down to your house, essentially, Jay, or whatever the one is. If I can't remember if you're the dead end or one right past you. But So we've got too far extent, and looking at the mapping, again, this is not to say that it's accurate, because that section is a little bit misunderstood because of that that cross-country line that went in. But I just looking at it between the conversation with Jake and then talking to Chris, it looked like there was possibly some things we could do in order to almost lessen the size of that pressure zone, off from the Rigi zone that's running down Upper Lakeview, and it might be more effective for us to cross-connect West Bergamo to feed up to Visp instead. So just something that I said, essentially Chris and I just wanted to look at if we had better options. I think that we all are probably in agreement we're not going to make it to Upper Lakeview, and that this is more of a future thing. And before we just finalize the plan on that, to look at it and say, hey, do we have a better option here?
Okay.
Yeah, well, we do have the PRV pit to be redone up there.
Right, and that still wouldn't change anything on the PRV pit. You'd still be feeding a leg of Upper Lakeview and all that down to Oak Ridge, down Lakeview and then Oak Ridge. But instead of having that pressure zone continue to feed all the way down to Visp, there's some pretty simple. If the mapping is anywhere near correct, it looked like there was a pretty simple option to feed it from West Bergamo instead of from the Rigi cross country line. So just something that would have to be looked at and thought about, and Chris would have to find out the elevations and everything else, make sure everything would work properly. But just an idea right now.
Yeah. Okay. And again, same thing with the cross culverts. It's something where let's get the main line in, get the ledge uncertainty just behind us, and then look at the culverts, look at any of these little fixes that if for some short money and get the best bang for the buck for the commission and for the district while we're there would be ideal.
Right.
Anything kind of on that, help sensor zones, fix bleeders, anything like that, help flow. I mean, any little tiny dead ends that we can connect and realign is going to give better water quality for the residents.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, on that thought process of getting the most bang for your buck, you guys, I know that there's been a couple of here recently requests for connections in areas that we typically would not have been able to connect in the past without the pressure zone. Specifically the one on top of Rhinac, the new lot that I know you guys have already put some thought into, and then we have also, I believe it was either 20 or 22 Aspen. I went around there the other day. That would be assumed, that's past the bleeder on Upper Aspen. So that's going to assume to be a location that we have no water line. We have two dead ends as you go around that sharp curve on Aspen, one coming up from the Jungfrau zone and one coming down from Upper Aspen. So there's some portion of line, I don't know if it's 100 feet, 20 feet, 200 feet that we don't have water main there. So we could consider, while he's digging down Aspen, again, depending on where we're at financially, continuing that water main or giving that lot that wanted to connect the option to pay the X dollars per foot to continue that water main. So just stuff like that that we're coming across, we'll want to have that thought done before he's done digging, because obviously while we're doing it, if you have him come back and do it, it's going to probably significantly change the cost of that project versus just extending another 100 feet or something now.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
You guys have anything else you want to present to the commissioners?
Yeah, there's one thing. I just wanted to follow up. I think was it 9, Brian Ike, the open lot that wants to have the water service that we talked about? So
yeah.
What I'm planning on doing is on that Class 6 road, just so that the residents and the commission know, is as we go down Ryan Ike, I'm going to end up installing a 4x2 T with a big gate valve to go up the back side of that Class 6 road. And then coming out of the well house, we'll have a 2-inch line that'll go past, again, I said it was number 9, Ryan Ike, and he would have a service. And then eventually the future plan would be that those two-inch lines would connect that circle up at Ryan Ike in the future. But I guess,
gotcha.
How do we stand as far as payment on that? I guess that the owner is responsible for that work, correct? And I think Jake had already reached out to him, but I just want to make sure whatever applications are getting done properly or paperwork from the commission, and you know, everything's, you know, I don't want to wait to the last minute to be doing paperwork, I guess. That's all.
Yeah, he would have to submit a water connection application, which would then authorize the commissioners to get into a discussion about whether we want to go ahead and allow that connection to be made. And if it is to be made, there's quite a bit of specifics in the ordinance as to what they are responsible for financially, both not only to the water line, but also to putting the road back in shape to a standard that we'd be able to maintain that water line beneath.
Yep. Okay, so I'll make sure that, you know, myself or Jake, or we reach out. I just want to make sure we're getting that paper trail going sooner than later, because those are little items that all of a sudden, you know, bite you, where we didn't, you know, all of a sudden we're already there, ready to go, and the paperwork's not done, and the paperwork's going to take, you know, a month or 3 weeks or something. So.
Yep. Okay. Ian remembers. Yeah, Kathy.
Okay. We've got the same situation up on 7 Biasca, where
yep.
those folks have a vacant lot. They applied a year ago for the water hookup, and we returned them $8,000 because we were not able to guarantee that they would be able to hook up. So
I think that's a little different, because I do believe there's pipeline out on Biasca. It's just that's more of a standard mm-hmm. connection. Now that will be a pressurized main, but I don't hold me
okay.
to that. We'd have to look into whether or not, you know, that would be the engineering decision, whether or not there's water main in that location. But as far as I know, it does travel Biasca right up to where it's untravelable, you know. So that's just
so
after we're pressurized, yeah, we would have enough pressure on Biasca to feed a home up there.
Okay. But so what, so how would we respond to him? At this point?
That would still require the typical, you know, process of putting it out to I don't know if you guys are still putting that out to Du Bois and King, but to have that put out to them in order to verify, you know, to the best of their knowledge via model, they'd have to update that model with the new pressure, and Chris would have to, you know, I can't remember if it's whatever the pressure is going to be hitting right there, but figure that out. And that's going to be, I believe, pre-PRV right there. So, but anyway, we'd have to have the engineer. You still go through the standard process.
Yep.
They'd have to put in their application. You guys get your money. Right. You go through the engineering application. And then if it turns out there's no water main, then they'd have the same decision to make whether or not they want to extend it. Or if there is water main, then it's just, you know, okaying that pressure, which, like I said, we're going to be coming down with more than enough pressure at this point.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But
so,
I've written down the address.
And
I think once I get the tax maps house number,
okay.
you know, which really, if you can get me that, then I can figure out where I am. We'll start getting house numbers on our plans, you know, for the project.
Okay.
Okay. So there is some question as to whether or not there's even a main going across that lot, in front of that lot.
I just haven't looked at it specifically, Kathy. You know, as you guys know, that's never my decision to make anyhow. So that would have to be you know, I can try to look at it and give my best guess as far as whether or not there's anything there, but that still ends up being an engineering decision.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if Dubois King had anything more updated map-wise than we already have.
Well, we're changing all the stress zone up there anyway, so it's kind of a whole new ball game.
Okay. All right. Okay. So he just reached out to me because I know him, and he was just questioning, you know, the
I think it's going to just go through this. Yeah, it still just has to go through the standard process. You know, obviously we don't have the pressure zone yet, but once it's in place, you know, I don't think there's going to be a question of pressure, but there is still, we have to just verify that there's water mains. So you have to still just go through the application process.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'll have Donna notify him of that.
All right. Great. Hey, thanks. Thanks, Chris and Ian, for the update. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Ian, that water leak at the bottom of Aspen, do you have a plan for that?
Yeah, you guys are going to be getting an email from me. So that's obviously increased. It looks like Dawson has time on Monday to do that. So that's, if we need more notice than that, then it's going to have to be, tail end of next week. But, you know, we've been keeping an eye on it. It's obviously, we're fine usage wise and everything as far as we're not having any issue keeping up with it. But we unfortunately can't get Granite State to come do, detection on it at the current time. So, we're not going to be able to, the problem we run into is under pavement, you know, how direct that leak is coming up. Obviously it's, you know, surfacing where it's surfacing. It could be because it's directly below there. It could be because that's the weakest point in the pavement that's coming through. So, you know, we were hoping to get leak detection, you know, listening equipment on it prior to digging it, but it has increased to the point that we can make a decision. So like I said, you're going to get an email from me to just decide, hey, we're not in an emergency situation. But it is, you know, the water is increasing and we could get to one in the next, you know, couple of weeks if we don't do anything with it. So it's really just about knowing we're going to be cutting into pavement and doing at least to some degree exploratory digging on that.
Your main's not going down that far, right?
What's that?
You're only going a liter?
But there's a section of main that comes up from the... There's a section of Maine that comes up from the Jungfrau zone and loops back up that way.
But your new Maine's not going to reach that far.
No.
As of now, no, that would not be something we were planning to do.
It's too bad, huh?
Yeah.
It's right there.
It's actually two different Maines, though, Kelly. We're actually on the lower, which is a completely different pressure zone, which is just something we deal with a lot in here. But so you have two, you know, it would be...
Yeah.
Changing pressure zones and everything else, but it's we do have that is off the Jungfrau zone.
Okay. All right, thank you, Ian.
But yes, no, we've been keeping an eye on it and keeping an eye on usage, making sure we're not getting out of sorts, and you know, we're keeping up with it without any issue at all. It's just yeah, we're actually at pretty typical summer usage right now. That's probably just because we're not seeing an influx of people. So between, you know, that leak is probably taking up to 10, 15 extra gallons per minute that we usually see from additional people. I don't know exactly what it is, but, you know, just gauging off what you see coming up out of the ground. So there's just a big hold on getting Granite State out. So I'm still comfortable saying, you know, we know about it. If I can get Granite State there, I'd prefer that route just because we are digging pavement and it is on a steep slope. And so those leaks can... They can surface somewhere completely different than what you think you're seeing. It could end up being 10 feet lower or 10 feet higher, and, you know, that ends up with a 20 by 30 foot patch, you know, whatever, a 10 by 20 or 10 by 30 foot patch that we just really, you know, don't want to have to go through the expense of. So as long as we're keeping up with it and as long as it's not deteriorating the road, which it didn't seem to be, Kelly, you know, the last time I saw it was day before yesterday. But I know there's a little bit of silt coming up with it, but it doesn't seem to be, you know, any issue with the actual structure of the road, correct?
Correct, yeah. And the road's already in bad shape, but we're going to probably be trimming that during the summer. So after
it will definitely – I mean, again, I'll send an email to the commissioner in the office, and you guys can make a decision with the information that we have on it. I know I sent you guys something a couple weeks ago about it. You know, just informationally wise to say we've located it. We have an issue here, and, this is a matter of deciding, do we want to wait and let it be until I can get Granite State there, knowing that we can reduce the cost of that digging probably substantially by knowing exactly where that leak is, or do we want to say we don't want to be, you know, having that leak out now, let's just shut it down and get it, get it repaired and take a chance. You know, I mean, there's a chance we dig straight down and it's right there. It's just that there's a chance that we dig down and it's, you know, traveling down the pipe for 25 feet before it's coming up. So.
Yeah. Well, I get it. No.
Yep.
That's all. Thank you.
But yeah, fully aware of it. So I'll shoot an email and you guys can shoot me one back.
Yeah.
And since we're on the discussion of water usage, I might as well just cover this as well, Ian.
Yep.
Donna had put together some water usage reports for the this month and the last year's comparison. And
yep.
It looks like we're running at about 60,000 gallons per month more in comparison to last year. Now,
600,000.
I have 60,000.
Yeah, okay. That's, I mean, 60,000 per month
per
is pretty negligible. Yeah, that's pretty negligible.
Yeah,
I mean, especially where we know we've had a leak for, you know, at least a couple weeks right there. We've had a couple of main, you know, drains in the last, just in this month alone, we probably dumped out 10,000, 20,000. You know, it's always timing on flushing and things of that nature. So, you know, something like that, 60,000 over the course of a million or whatever we're doing, it's, we don't, you know, overthink that typically, but especially when we know
right.
we have some leaks.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, and the
yep.
taxpayers, we are looking at these numbers and we keep an eye on it.
No, okay. I understand. I mean, it's just, you know, it's gauging, you know, the cost of that water, you know, versus the cost of excavation inside a pavement and, you know, whatever. So it's, we're aware of
yep.
them. It's just, you know, making the decision. I mean, that's what you just said. That's, you know, it's you guys' decision. Like I said, I sent a email a couple weeks ago about it. So, you know, whenever
yep.
you guys, I can send one with the current information we have, just because we've seen probably an increase in that over the last 3 to 5 days. That just could be that things are really dry, so it's showing up worse. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, we haven't seen usage dictate that it's increased to that degree, but it's, you know, it's always the way in here. If there's a little less water usage elsewhere, it's going to go to the leak. If the more people use water, it's going to go to the people who use water, so on and so forth. So exactly how much water we're losing there, I'm not positive, but I do know we're digging in pavement and that can become pretty costly the bigger we make that ditch. So I'm on the same page as you. I just, without having access to the leak detection, simply it's kind of putting a hold on it where typically we wouldn't need one. Or if it was a dirt road on flat surface, it would be, you know, a no-brainer just to go after it. But
right. Okay.
Conditions kind of dictate what we have for options, you know?
I know. That's all I got for you two guys. I appreciate your joining in this morning. I was hoping I wouldn't take up so much of your time, but your information was very useful here. So I appreciate you chiming in. And is Thursday, I know Chris, okay with you, I guess. And Ian, if you could do once a month, the first Thursday of the month, that'd be great.
Yeah, certainly for the time being, it'll be some call-ins. And then if we start scheduling that, you know, 9 a.m. first Thursday a month, by about mid to end of this month, I should be able to start, if you guys prefer it, coming in. But I'm totally fine doing a bike phone if everybody else is fine with that as well. So.
Okay.
All
great. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
Before Ian hangs up,
yep.
I just want to confirm that he was made aware that the commissioners approved $1,000 to do some probing over on Barden Place to determine the length of that gap between those dead ends.
I was just seeing something from the Barden that got sent over, I think, yesterday, but I didn't see that there was probes. You know, when you say probes, are you talking about?
You were gonna do some digging, some pits to see if we could figure out.
So $1,000. We're not gonna get very far with $1,000.
Right.
Okay.
You know, half day of excavation is $1,000. So it's, you know, that without any other man hours involved with it. So it's you know, that doesn't really get us too far. So we can certainly talk about it a little bit more, and that would probably be the thing to do, because I have no idea where one of the dead ends is and a very vague idea where one of them is. So you know,
okay.
you could get into a couple of days of excavation and exploratory digging there trying to find stuff. So
we didn't know, so we were just sort of kind of flying, you know, by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, Jay and I have talked about this a couple times as far as what the correct course of action is here. And it's unfortunately we don't have, you know, it just goes back to the, you know, the value of mapping that we have and you know, that we just don't know if there's a 50-foot gap between the pipes or if there's a 500-foot gap between the pipes. So, you know, I mean, we can make our best guesses based off, you know, the closest curve valves and try to go about it in that way. But it's we're still going to, you know, that would probably be the easiest. The best thing we could do is trace back the two closest curve valves from the dead ends and then start trying to find the dead end on either side. And I don't know if we're going to be 5 feet past the curve valve that we hit the dead end or, if, you know, 75 feet past the curve valve that we hit the dead end. Okay. So it's,
I mean,
it's just impossible to give a valid, you know, estimate of that. It could be a day. It could be 3 days.
But so would it not exceed $4,000 to do those?
I just, it's very difficult to say that, Kathy. I mean, obviously it just, you know, 4,000 is going to get you about 2 days of excavation. So if that's, you know, without any other man hours. So, you know, if we're on site for the whole thing, you got another, you know, $500 a day for us. So it's just, I can't say. So it's, you know, I mean, I think you'd have to be closer to six in order to say we're going to, you know, meaningfully find the dead ends. And then you got to find out how many feet apart are we and say 30, $35 a foot to dig in, you know, new main from one end to the other, if it's 50 feet or if it's, again, you know, 200 feet.
So I don't know, what do you think, Jay? I mean, it seemed like it was a worthwhile project to do.
Yeah, but not knowing
anytime we can loop a water main, I think it's a good project. If we're, you know, doing a connection and we have the $8,000 or whatever we're at this point connection fee, you know, I know part of that's meant to go to capital reserve and update and everything, and you know that you can almost directly tie those two monies together. I mean, it's entirely possible we dig that back from that lot and find the main in front of it. So, and which would negate the need of, you know,
right,
continuing this project. That's
But if you're going to do it, we can't fund you to do half the project. Either we have to make sure we have enough money to do it, worst case scenario, and obviously we all hope for the best, but make no point for you to be out there for, you know, 75% of the time and then walk away with not knowing the answer to the problem.
No, I totally agree. So, it's just, again, we have, you know, we don't have, I don't have an asset map that I can take a measurement on and tell you, yeah, I've got, you know, I can tell you, you know, with perfect accuracy that we got 200 feet of pipe in between and, you know, we're going to dig this and it'll be 3 days. Yeah. So I can't really give you a rough estimate on this one. We'd, you know, I mean, like I said, I think just to find the dead ends, I think you'd be talking at a minimum of 2 days, you know, 1 day on each side and possibly 2 days on each side. It just really depends on how far the mains run, you know, past the last curve valve.
Okay. So that's just to locate the two dead ends. And then you'd have to go through that process of figuring out, you know, digging the middle and then, you know, halfway between the middle and each dead end to see kind of where we are with the,
I mean, what we would garner from that is that we would have the either knowing that we have a very short distance to connect them or we have a substantial project on our hands of a couple hundred feet that would be, you know, something we'd want to, you know, plan ahead for. So, I wish I could give you a little better information, but unfortunately, I don't have the ability to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kathy, why don't we hold off on this one because, again, we have to keep careful eye on the budget. The other thing is that Dawson's will be here for quite a while this summer and into the fall, so they're readily available if we want to do this. The other thing that I'm concerned about is that this street has had repeated freeze-ups, and I'm wondering if the reason the water line is so shallow is because there may be ledge there.
I would say burn having ledge is pretty, you know, burn and Barden having ledge is unlikely. I guess you can have it crop up almost anywhere, but the freeze-ups we had, that I recall was 1 year, probably 12, 15 years ago, that there was, you know, that was one of the worst winters I can recall as far as snow cover and frost depth and things of that nature. And that line did not have a bleeder until that winter. So we added that bleeder on that winter, and we do not have bleeders on Barden specifically. So there's really actually no water flow on Barden. You know, the bleeder's running off burn, if that makes sense to you. So that line is not necessarily shallow.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
I would expect that it's actually not.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find some more mapping or information that might still be here or up at the lodge.
Yeah, why don't we – I think we just need to have a little bit more conversation on it. I got to go get boots on the ground and put a little more if we're moving forward with the conversation, you know, potentially connecting those dead ends, then I need to put a little more effort into trying to see what I can find, same as you, through the mapping and you know, drawings and whatnot, and see what we can come up with, and then maybe have another conversation in the next, you know, whenever you guys want, next day or two, and I can let you know what I found for information, and maybe hopefully give you a little bit more, but I just, you know, don't hold your breath. It's pretty limited what we have, so.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
going to be looking.
Yeah. Oh, 10 Barden?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Ian and Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Yeah,
take
care.
Thank
you, Chris. Bye. Have a safe weekend. Thank you.
Okay, you too.
Yeah, you as well.
Bye-bye. Okay, Kelly, you're up.
Well, the only thing I need to talk to today is the estimate for Little Loop. The best I can do on that, and measuring the driveway and measuring the easement totals 20 feet. Give or take inches. So if we got a 10-foot easement, that leaves 10 foot of driveway. The problem with the whole thing is the drainage, I would not have been using 3/4-inch gravel to put into drainage.
In the easement.
So that is going to be coming back out. I would cut it in half. That's the only thing I can think to do, 10 feet and 10 feet of the estimate. The estimate was pretty accurate of the 4,000-something. I forget the exact number. But to be fair, I think cutting it in half would suffice.
So the numbers that were retrieved by the resident through the 91A request, you would say that half that value is attributable to half of the driveway improvements being outside of that easement area?
That's what I,
okay.
Now, Jay, should this be a non-public as we chatted last week?
Because
it was sort of a change in the circumstances?
Well, I'm trying to maybe remember. That it's a resident and not a commissioner that changes things.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to recall what you're referring to last week, but
I think what we were talking about is since there was the implication of legal action that the conversations on this now should be done in non-public, whereas initially was not the case.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So. Yeah, well, we needed Kelly's input, so we have that.
Right.
So the discussion about this. So, to your point, Kathy, I agree. Yeah, the discussion now, what we do with the numbers that Kelly's presented, should be non-public. Well, I thought you were referring to what Kelly just told us. Okay.
I didn't know if the whole conversation should be a non-public or not.
Yeah.
I give you the number. The number is up to you.
Okay. So it is.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, that'll be non-public. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. Kelly, anything else?
No. We're still doing some ditch cleaning and some culvert cleaning and a lot of leaves that we didn't get to last year and we're dealing with. But the roads are in great shape. I really don't have any problems. We're going to start. My plan is to start Little Loop next week, barring any problems. We have everything on hand, just a matter of everything keep running, I guess is what I'm saying. The backhoe has a starter problem, but it's not that bad yet. So we're gonna move forward.
All right.
Yeah, Monday we'll be digging on Little Loop.
Great, thanks, Kelly. Kathy, you have any questions for Kelly? Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Donna, any questions for Kelly? I know you got a, was it a voicemail or an email about a rock?
Jay, sorry, I was on mute by accident. No, I was going to ask Kelly, whatever happened with that stainless steel sander?
Yeah, I caught wind that somebody was going to put a very high minimum bid. It was
okay.
over 2,000, so it wasn't worth it for us to pay that much to try to outbid him.
Okay.
So unfortunately, that didn't work out.
Oh no, we hadn't heard kind of anything, so I was curious as to where that all fell.
Yeah, no,
so.
Somebody wanted it bad, so that's how that works. Luckily, I got wind of it. Didn't waste that time trying to get it.
No, we appreciate the effort in trying to get it for us, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, I had a question from a resident that there was a giant rock. Where was it?
Porridge Store.
Yeah, and you've moved it in the past, but they claim that the culvert's broken. I sent an email, but I just found out you don't have internet, so you're not getting emails.
Yeah, it's not working again.
I guess you've brought materials up to her in the past.
Sand or just
dirt
tailings.
And she's requested more.
What road?
Ford Shore.
Yeah.
Down by the.
Ford Shore.
Down by the
Ford
Three Fingers.
Ford Shore.
Yeah, because Ford U is up near me.
Right. Is that it? Yeah.
Oh, no. There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
No.
It was 10 Ford Shore. But she called in, and I told her I'd get back to her.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Well, she needs to fill out
the fill request.
Okay. Anytime someone wants it, you should have a fill request form somewhere in here.
Okay, I'll have to locate that.
They fill out. And I'll go look at the rock.
Yeah, and she questioned the damage of the culvert. She painted whatever orange. So.
Okay.
Boy, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Got to make it look like you guys painted it.
Put a flag on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Anything else for Kelly? Kelly, the new truck is getting a deposit for the outfitting.
Yes, I gave Donna the final number.
Yep.
She should have the estimate and
get that next.
Start ordering stuff up.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And we also got a. Talking about new trucks, we got a letter from Primex. If anything about our risk or our exposure has changed, and so whenever we get new vehicles, we have to notify our insurance company of that purchase so that they can be covered under insurance and all that good stuff. So,
all right.
Thank you, Kelly. Drainage letters. We had we talked about that one Aspen Drive. They wanted an on-site meeting.
Yeah.
And
she sent pictures in.
Yeah. Oh.
But they're not clear. They're only clear on the computer.
Okay. Oh yes, of her home.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I saw those on my computer. Kathy, have you seen the water damage to this individual's basement?
I don't think I did. No, I don't think I got that.
One Aspen Drive. I got it. So this is with the groundwater levels changing in this neighborhood, and she wants to have an on-site meeting. And I don't know, have we communicated with her by either phone or letter that we do? We will meet with her.
I haven't gotten notice
of
that.
So she leaves her phone numbers here. Kathy, I'll make a motion that we contact the homeowner to meet with them on-site. With Kelly, I think we talked a little bit about this last week.
Okay.
To go over whatever the issues that she would like to inform us of.
Okay. Well, if it's going to be one commissioner and Kelly, if we do two commissioners, obviously we have to post it at the meeting and have a 24-hour posting time. Yes. Okay.
Yep. And if we have notification of when that meeting might be, I always encourage that as many commissioners as possible be present.
No, and I'm available, so.
Okay. All right, perfect. Thank you. So we have that motion made, seconded, I believe, by Kathy. Is that right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Okay, thank you. Now we move on to Donna. Donna, you have the microphone for admin reports.
I don't have a lot. I've been trying to get through everything after last week's with the phone going out and just everything that happened. Like I said, I've been trying to get up from underneath everything here. There's a lot of 91As that have to be taken care of that we're trying to address, and that's about all I have.
So I want to dial back to the staffing position that we put an advertisement in the Conway Sun for. We received how many responses?
Zero.
We received zero. You think there's a pandemic out there. So, Kathy, any strategies on how we can fill this position?
Well, we did mention to Catherine, how do you say her last name? DeVoe?
DeAo.
If she knew of anybody, maybe we can let her know that we're really in need of somebody, and with her work experience and contact, she may know of somebody that we could reach out to. It's tough, you know. Unfortunately, people are getting a nice subsidy from the government that are out of work because of the COVID. So it would be silly for them to take on a job part time at the district. So unfortunately, we might have to wait till August.
Yeah. I've reached out as well. I knew you had talked to Catherine, or somebody did.
Yeah, we did.
And so I'm trying to make phone calls as well to see if there's anybody that has that interest, might want to come and work for the district. So I'll keep pressing that as well. But I think we owe it to Donna to get her help as soon as possible. I think we owe it to the district.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So let's keep working on that. And moving on to the administration, I heard that there's one audio recording up on the website. Is that true?
I had Donna send me one of the files just to see if that file could be uploaded to the website, which I did, and it was only one of the first 10-minute ones that we were kind of experimenting with. I had a conversation with Ron. He suggested trying to embed the audio into the actual minutes. So when you called up the minutes for a certain date, you could either, once you saw the minutes, you could either at the top of that click on the audio or continue reading. And I fooled around with that this morning, and I think I can do that. Instead of Donna emailing me all of those audios, I will go to the office, since they're all there, and we can do it right there.
Great. Okay. So let me ask the question, though. You know, as far as getting sophisticated and attaching a link, a hyperlink, to the minutes to take you to the audio version of it, is that going to be sustainable? And how much time does that take, which will, again, Donna right now doesn't have that time as we seek an additional staffing person here. I just don't want to be adding anything more to Donna's plate. I want to take stuff off of her plate until we get that additional staff.
Well, once you figuring out the steps is the hard part. Once the steps are figured out, it really doesn't take that long, Jay. It doesn't. I don't know how long it took you to get them from the conference calling service into a folder that we can use. So I don't know how long that took. Now that you figured it out, it should be, I'm guessing, rather quick.
Oh, it's easy, Kathy.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I can come down after this meeting. I've got a 1 o'clock appointment today. So depending on how much time between the end of the meeting and 1 o'clock, I can show her how I got the audio link embedded in the typed minutes.
Okay. Now, but that we're talking about the website, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So you go to the website, click on the date, and it would, and you'd see the written minutes, and then, but before you start reading, right at the top of that caption would be a link to go to the audio version.
Right, but Donna doesn't have access to the website now, does she?
No, I have to get into it, Kathy. I have to just, passwords and everything.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Right, we couldn't get into it originally, so I know with Andrew's help, we were able to get into the website, and then he used some password generator to come up with one of those 47-digit passwords. I think I texted that to you yesterday, Donna, the password.
Yeah, I got it after I spoke to Ron, yep.
Okay. All right. So hopefully we can start, streamlining this whole process.
Yeah, because we have our 91A request from Mark. I want to make sure that we can do that today? Is that possible?
I don't see why we couldn't.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. We also had a problem with the phone system. That was last week, right? Or is it still continuing?
No, that was last week. We unfortunately, with the amount of calls coming in and going out, we were out of over our minutes, unbeknownst to myself. It is going to be in another additional $3 a month for the upage of the minutes, just to be aware for the budget-wise.
That may break the budget there, that $2 a month. But well,
I think Andrew said that the plan he picked was 500 minutes a month, and which seemed much more than adequate. And on the 27th of May, we went over the 500, so the plan was up to the 1,000 minutes per month.
Yep.
And that's going to be the additional $3 per month cost.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and the last thing we have under administration is the commissioner's meeting minutes of 312, 324, 326, 42, 49, 416, 417 as amended, and 423. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe last week Adam was in agreement with just releasing the 417 as amended, which was the bid opening meeting. Donna, I took those minutes, Donna. Mm-hmm. I've amended those minutes and passed those out. But what I'd like to do is approve all of these minutes as they are. If we have to make amendments later on, once the audios become available, that's fine. We can do that. But I'd like to get them out for the public view as soon as possible. So do I have a entertainment of a motion to approve these minutes listed here?
Are you making a motion to approve them as?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve them as they are.
Now, the only thing I did, Jay, I posted 417 this morning with your amendment, and last week we also discussed amending that same meeting to clarify that the legal fees were not coming out of the Waterline Extension Fund, that they were coming out of the water budget.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember that. Okay, yeah.
Okay. So we made a motion to make that amendment. So I did type that in bold on that set of minutes, and I did post those this morning.
Okay, great. Perfect.
And I don't think I have 312. I think 312 was the one I didn't get, and that was just an oversight. So if Donna, we'll do it when I get to the office, but I think 312
is
the one
that
Andrew
sent out. Yeah, I did send that to you, Kathy. And for some reason, I think 312s were approved way back when.
Because
they were approved in on the, on the file that I saved.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So I think all of them are up there except 312, which I'll do today, and then the new one that we got this morning for 423.
Okay. All right, so the motion's on the table to approve all of these and get them up on the website. And, Kathy, I believe you seconded. Is that right?
I did. I seconded it.
All right, thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. So that basically concludes this section of the agenda, which is administration. And what I've promised before is before we get on to too much more information, I'm going to open it up to the audience to have if they have any questions or concerns with regards to the administration.
Does the truck loan come under administration?
We could put it there, certainly.
Well, I just, Jay was in the office yesterday, but I did finalize all the documents that the bank needed, and we'll hopefully have the documents to sign early next week.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Dinah.
I have one other silly, well, it's not silly, but I don't know how long I can stay on the call, but I was talking to John Rochard yesterday.
Yep.
And I think he's going to send you guys an email, but he wanted you to know that the VLAP program has been severely shortened, and they're only going to accept tests from July and September.
Oh.
I guess they're under employee things there. But anyway, that's all the state will do, so that's all we'll be able to do, and they just wanted you folks to know that.
Okay. That's good to know.
Okay. Maybe they've had to give up some of their PPE to the hospitals or something. I don't know.
So
I guess
that's the state of affairs.
I guess kind of while we still have Dinah with us as our EPOA representative and treasurer, I reached out again to the individual that was going to help with the kayak racks, and he said, you know, you're probably looking at $1,000 in labor, not counting the cost of the materials. So I don't know if that's something we want to pursue this summer or not.
Yeah, I think they're...
You can't do just some of them. It's either they all have to be adjusted so that they'll be better suited for the short kayaks, or just they all need to be the way that they are now, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we get further down on the agenda, the kayak racks, so we can bring that up and decide whether or not to go ahead and open them up.
Right, and only but I thought because Dinah was on the call now, and because EPOA was going to help fund this, that's kind of where we're at.
Okay. Maybe that could be.
Wants to come up with another 500, or the EPOA wants to come up with another 500, or we can split the difference.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we can talk about that in the fall once the canoes and kayaks come off the rack on November the 1st, I believe.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you.
All right.
Moving on to, I'm going to move right into accounts payable. On the agenda, we have a manifest for expenditures $3,796.20.
Okay, there's 8 checks this time around. One to Chadwick and Barras for $69.36 for the backhoe fittings. The next is to Granite State Analytical for their monthly testing, $151. The next is to Matheson for $210.79. The next is to Monson Chemicals for $2,714.40. The next one is to Silver Lake Home Center for $120.61. And the next one is to Paris Farms for $130.05. The next one is to Water Industries for $315. And the last one is to Spectrum for the $84.99.
All right. I'll make a motion that we approve the manifest for $3,796.20. Do I have a second?
Sorry, I will second that.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And Kathy, you can sign out of session. We made that motion earlier. Yeah. I do have one question, and that is with G.W. Brooks and the tight tank project.
I still haven't received
it. Yeah, still haven't received that final check. Let's, you know, keep that in mind that it's not a lot of money, I believe, but it's like, I believe it's a couple of thousand, $3,000-$4,000 plus some maybe an add-on because of the thickness of the concrete. So let's just keep that in our mind as an IOU so that we don't forget about that at the end of the year in case that's when it comes in. Oh, actually, Don, if you get a chance, could you just reach out to them and just remind them?
Okay.
Because they'll always remember on December 31st.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. We have now payroll. Payroll, we have an amount of $5,537.55. I'm going to read off the time cards for the employees. We have Kelly Robitel. Am I saying your last name right?
You're doing perfect.
Thank you, sir. Is that French?
Let's go. We're almost out of time.
All right. That's 40 hours. We have, that's for the week of 522. For the week of 529, we have Kelly at 40 hours as well. Jeff DiMartino for the week of 522. We also have 40 hours and 40 hours as well for the week of 529. We have for Tony Eldridge for the week of 522, 24 hours. And for 529, we also have 24 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for Donna McKinnon for the week of 522, we have 22 hours. And for the week of 529, we have 14.75 hours. I'll make the motion that we approve the payroll for $5,537.55. Do I have a second on that, Kathy?
I will second that.
Okay, thank you very much. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and Kathy, if you can come down and just initial that payroll manifest.
Yep, I will do that.
Great. Thank you.
The other signature item that we have, we had signed the bond agreement, the loan agreement, but they needed the four pages signed, and we only signed one. We were under the assumption because we were sending it out, you know, in case people couldn't be able to come into the office to sign it. So that the four pages have to be signed to send it into them. If you can come by that diner, that would be you, and Jay and Kathy.
Okay. I can do that right after.
Yeah, we questioned why there were so many pages there. That's probably why.
So.
Okay. Does anybody in the audience have any questions, concerns about either the payroll or the manifest? Or any of the signature items that we had today? Hearing none, that's great. We'll move on. Committee reports, we don't have any committee reports at this moment. The water system, we do have a water hookup request. Do we have an application back up, by the way, or just an email? For number 9, Reinhardt?
I don't have application. Okay. Yet. No.
And Kathy had pointed out from last year, 7 Biasca. Talked about that with Ian. We also have the 10 Barton Place. They have paid their water hookup, and they're just waiting on Ian, who I believe is going to
No, that went out last week, I thought. Didn't it?
Oh, it did, but has he actually been hooked up?
Oh, no. He was hoping either this week or next week the hookup.
Yep. So when that's completed here, I will
take
this off the agenda just to make sure we get it done. We have the Aspen water leak. We talked about that. We talked about the water usage being up, which also could be the amount of visitors that are up here. Okay, going into commissioners' reports, I guess I'll go first real quick. We had the canoe kayak auction on Saturday morning. Had a attendance of about 15 people, which is very promising. And we sold all 5 watercraft. And the district received $670 for those five watercraft.
So the agenda says 600. The agenda says 630. So was it 670?
Yeah, Donna corrected me. It's actually 670.
Okay.
It, it's always better when it's always better when it's more. I wanted to talk about the audit management discussion and analysis, and I finally found, Kathy, the 2018 audit, and you wanted to have in there the total. Let's see, I got it here. Total unassigned fund balance for the 2018 as well as 2019 to do that comparison. So I have that number now. And then also the total for all the appropriations made in 2019. I had it at zero.
Certainly not zero. Even on the warrant for last year, the year before that, it gave that unassigned fund. So if those two things can be added to that, that would hopefully complete that, and you can forward that to Tamer.
Okay. All right. We'll do. We'll do that today. I'm writing this down for myself right now.
What was the unassigned fund from 2018?
It was $213,035.
Okay, and then we were up to, now what is it up to?
I don't have it in front of me. I thought I saw the number 218.
No, it's more than that. It's like 235 maybe?
Oh, yeah, you're right, because that changed on the last revision. Yep, you're right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
So funds were added into the unassigned fund.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. All right.
Is the MS-535 done?
The MS-535, Donna had done quite a while ago. It's the MS, I had it written down here. Where is it? MS-636. I'm going to go try and retrieve that today. We have sent the signed MS-535. That was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And I got to find out why they're asking for it.
Okay, because I thought that the final form that Tamer provided at the conclusion of the audit, I thought that was the 535.
Yeah, I think that's the 535.
That is correct, and she can't submit that until we finalize the audit.
Okay. So that's the one we have not done, 535.
Yeah, but then in the letter from the DRA, it also is asking for the 636. So I got to go find out what that one. Yeah, what that one's all about. Okay. So Kathy, I'll give it over to you for your commissioner's report. I know you have that email blast letter on the construction and convenience and schedule that Adam had drafted.
Yep.
And I had that. Let me see if I can put my fingers on it real quick.
What are we looking for?
That letter that's supposed to go out on email about the inconvenience that people might expect.
Okay, that was just a paragraph. Yep, I have that. And I was. I'll do is, if we're pretty sure the blasting is going to take place on Tuesday, I think we should send that out. If I can get it out this afternoon. And then that way, if anything occurs on Monday or Wednesday, at least the public will know that it was scheduled for Tuesday, but if it happens on either side of that day, they'll know that that's what that is from. It's from the Reinhardt Tank project.
Okay. The only concern I had with the paragraph was that there was a statement made that people may have to expect to be without water for as much as one day. And I apologize. I had this in my head because I was going to ask Ian, but I believe that DES does not allow you to even schedule so much as an outage, anything more than 4 hours. Okay. He would have been able to nail that one for me. I think I've heard that before. So if we just take the time frame out and just say you may experience temporary water outages, I think that will cover us, but I don't want to say a day in violation of what DES guidelines are.
Okay. I changed it. I updated that original paragraph because it said road closures, but it's really only Bristenstock and potentially with it Fallon's or Aspen.
Yeah, but it will become Bristenstock. It still is Bristenstock now. It will become possibly Reinach. There's two houses up on Reinach Place, and it will eventually become Aspen.
Okay, and they're beyond now where Salins is, so that's all set?
Yes, yeah, they're working their way up the hill now, yep.
Okay, all right, yeah, because it wasn't clear on the roads, so I wanted to be more specific on which roads would be affected.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll just make temporary water outlets. Okay, all right.
All right, and I know you talked a little bit about the kayak racks, and I guess, can we talk about that now, about opening the kayak racks?
Sure.
Okay, so I went to
the Madison Selectman meeting.
Yeah, I did go to that Madison Selectman meeting on Tuesday afternoon. I was just there to listen. And apparently, they're again withholding any decision making because of the governor's extension of the stay-at-home order. They're now expecting the governor to speak again on June 15th. The selectmen will be having a meeting the following day on June 16th, and they will hopefully get a bit better information to be able to determine what they want to do with their beaches and parks that require, let me talk about a couple of things. So right now, you cannot use one of those coupons at the transfer station. The coupons were also purchased for renters or guests of homes to be able to park at the beaches. There's 5 beaches on Silver Lake, but only 2 of them require stickers. So there are 3 beaches that you can simply drive up to, you know, without having the dump sticker on your windshield or a coupon in use. There was a request also made by the softball league, local softball league, and right now they're on hold as far as using the field. Does anybody know if Madison Old Home Week is already canceled? Yeah. I
don't know. It was Facebook that it was, it hasn't been canceled.
Yeah, other towns have canceled their old home week already. Freiburg Fair is canceled for October. So this goes back to, we have several requests. We have a request from the EPOA about the use of the 2 beaches, Geneva and Edelweiss Beach, for their summer cookouts. We have some questions about the use of the opening of the kayak racks. Someone said that they heard from the EPOA that they're going to be open on July 1st. I'm not sure if that's where they got that from, but anyhow, I did want to talk about just the kayak racks. And knowing now that we've sort of put the construction out, or the modifications out, till maybe the fall or next year, do we want to go ahead and open up those kayak racks? And then the question would be, do we want to use the portal to do it?
I think it's a you know, double-edged sword. You know, I think some people are very concerned about the stay-at-home order and complying with that. And the kayak racks, I think, are generally used by the local people that live here year-round. And they'd like to see them open.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing.
There was a Facebook post, I believe, yesterday that somebody wanted to know if they could lock the boats on a tree. So, I mean, I'm just forwarding information that I'm hearing, and just so I know what to tell people when they call in.
I think the July 1st date is written on the portal, meaning it'll be reviewed on July 1st. So I think that was what the implication was of that July 1st date, not that it would necessarily be open. But, you know, I think we should try it. You know, we'll open up the kayak lab. I think the portal, you know, once a little glitch between getting new residents linked up to their new property when it's not on file as their name, once that gets resolved, the kayak registration process actually works pretty good.
Okay, because I know I was one of the first. Go ahead, Kathy.
No, no. And I think because it's quiet right now, it would be a good time to launch it versus waiting till next year when we may have 150 people all clamoring on the same week to get registered.
Yeah, I think we have, Donna mentioned 48
I think
registered.
There's 48 people registered and there's 8 people pending, and those are the new residents that we have to fix that glitch.
Yep.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I'm looking at a calendar. Would you want to open up registration maybe on the 12th, the week from tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. We open up registration a week from tomorrow or today. Tomorrow will be fine. And just from the standpoint of really not knowing what unforeseen glitches there may be going forward, because we only have 48 registered people, so there's 114 rack spaces, so we still have a lot of capacity, which may also then create, for some people, a glitch because they're new homeowners or whatever. So if I may ask, Kathy, since you're most familiar with this, would you be willing to handle any of the portal issues, whether it be with new homeowners or glitches or anything like that between you and Andrew?
Yeah, Donna and I already did discuss that, and I'm glad you're in agreement with that, and yes, I will.
Okay, thank you very much, Kathy. Thank you. All right, so I will make the motion that we open up the canoe rack registration a week from tomorrow, which would be, did you say July? June 12th?
June 12th.
Okay, yeah,
June 12th.
My eyesight's going. Okay. And that the kayak racks would then be allowed to be used on starting July 1st?
Jay, what happened before is
everybody just has to be socially distant.
All right, okay.
I don't think
there's no reason to delay it. And previously, everybody would send in their request, and then someone had to assign them a space. The way the portal works, if it's open Friday at noontime and you've created your account with your property link, you pick your space. And once your space is chosen, it takes it off the list, so the next person who's picking a space will only see what the available spaces are.
Yeah, okay. Okay, got it.
So now, I don't think there's any reason to...
Yeah, one other question with the portal. And that is, in addition to the kayak and canoe registration fees, the portal has a lot of other information on it. Is that correct?
We'll put mine in.
Yes and no. I mean, the one thing it allows you to do is if somebody meets you on the beach and you want to contact them, and if my account checked off, yes, people can contact me, they could send me an email through the portal. That's really the only other thing that's in there right now.
Okay. Now, my question with that information, and I know there was the thought about putting property information, like assessing information, also on the portal, which is already public through the town of Madison. But what I don't want to do is duplicate information that already exists elsewhere in such that we now have a new set of information that we have to now maintain going forward.
What the portal uses as a database is a file that we get from Madison which we should be getting maybe on a monthly basis with all the updated information regarding property ownership. So that's the file that we use, and I'm not exactly sure what the steps are, but that's the file that we're using. We don't have to create another database.
Right. But
I'm just going to let you be aware that the town is going through an audit, and any property lists I won't get until the end of August, beginning of September, due to the audit being done.
Yep.
Yeah, I just don't want to fall into something that we now have issued and made public, and all of a sudden people start calling in and saying, this is out of date, you need to update this, this information's wrong, and then we get blamed for something that we didn't realize we have to now maintain. like planting, you know, it's like receiving a bunch of tomato plants. You don't just put them out in your garden and expect them to grow and water on their own. Sometimes they need maintenance, and I just don't want to add any more maintenance to the office because of the staffing shortage that we have right now.
Okay. Actually, it's kind of almost a good thing because it's giving the office a heads up on some of the property transfers that we would otherwise not know about until the water billing cycle happened.
Right. Okay.
And I think we can figure out how to get into the Registry of Deeds directly through Carroll County to verify the name of the property owners, even though Madison hasn't even gotten that information yet.
Okay. All right. So that motion, I guess, has been made, seconded to open up the registration on June the 12th. And I guess we just vote on that, and I'll say yay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So I'll contact Andrew to update the dates on the website.
All right, thank you. I want to go over cars.
So Jay, yeah. So if we're going to open up the kayak racks, what about the outhouses?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier, is that let's wait for Madison and the governor's next release, which is on the 15th of June. Madison will meet on the 16th. I'll attend that meeting as well, or listen in, and we'll see what they're going to be doing. I know for right now that the ballpark is closed. They're not ordering outhouses right now. They're getting them lined up as to what they might cost, but they may decide just not to bring in outhouses.
Okay. What about the Madison beaches? Outhouses open there or porta potties there?
Oh no, no, they're all porta potties at Madison.
But they don't have them.
Not right now. Nope, they have not ordered them.
Okay. All right. Well then, I think if we open ours, we don't want an influx of people from Silver Lake swinging over to Idlewife to use the facilities. But we should stay in line with Madison.
You know, let's keep in mind, too, what I just mentioned earlier is that coupons for renters and or visitors will not be accepted. In other words, the only people that will be allowed to use the transfer station are residents with a car sticker. So I'm afraid, this is just an assumption of mine, that renters might actually take their trash to our outhouses and drop them down the hole.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, is Kelly still with us? Is Kelly still in the meeting?
Yeah. Okay. He is.
So, Kelly, After Memorial Day weekend, did you notice any bags of trash that were left, at intersections or next to the outhouses or anywhere in the district?
No, not yet. But the rentals weren't open at that point, I don't think.
Not yet.
So really don't have that influx yet.
Okay. Well, even people that came up that, had second homes that weren't residents of Madison.
Yeah, no, the residents are usually pretty good. It's the renters that we're going to worry about.
Okay. All right. I was just curious how that Memorial Day weekend went, because the weather was pretty nice.
No, it went well. Went fine. Beaches were used. They were used heavily.
Yep,
I saw that.
And the playground was used, but I can't, they were putting kids over the fence, but what are you going to do?
Ay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll start a newsletter, and I'll get that information in the newsletter and on the website about the kayak racks.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to open it up to real quick to the audience if you have any questions or concerns about anything that we just discussed. Hearing none, we'll move on to correspondence. I do have a letter that was hand-delivered this morning to the office. It's from Gloria Aspinall. Gloria has been a commissioner for, I think, more years than any commissioner. And she says she has two requests, that you open the lodge for public attendance using the 6-foot distance and mask protocol. That's the first request. And number two, you put aside emotions, friendships, etc. Review your oaths of office and appoint another commissioner with experience and knowledge of the district. And then she goes on to say, my appointee would be Mr. Luchin, and ask that he finish out his recent appointment. Thank you for your consideration, Gloria B. Aspinall. So that's a correspondence from Gloria on the open position of commissioner. I don't want to talk about that right now. We can get into that, but I do want to go on with some other correspondence. We have correspondence from number 4, Gretchen Drive. The gentleman would like to proceed with having the drainage improvements, which is a culvert on his northerly driveway, put in. So I will put together a work order. Actually, I don't think a work order is necessary. Does he need a driveway permit?
No. I don't have a hard number on the culvert price, so I don't know if you can't require him to pay.
Ahead of time. Right.
So if it's okay, I'll purchase the culvert and I'll give you what it costs me for the culvert, and then you can ask him for the reimbursement.
And once we get the reimbursement, we'll go ahead and do the work. That'd be fine.
Okay.
All right.
And we had some others.
Yeah, we have
47 title-wise, 47, 49.
We had
a gentleman that said he was willing to go forward, but
yeah.
I don't know where that went.
That was 49?
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from 47. I don't know if anybody's notified them. I know they were supposed to be notified, but I don't know who.
Yeah,
Yeah, 47, we're waiting for the driveway permit. They're the folks that want to repave their driveway.
Right.
Right.
And on 49, we were going to explain to that individual, I guess we were going to send a sketch maybe? Or what we...
He didn't ask for anything. He said he'd be willing to help, but...
Yeah.
He was told that there was 2 culverts for his,
yeah.
And it
right.
could run up to...
he said it...
Yeah.
You know, my estimate of culverts... 225.
I think he was told
to
remember we had
twice that.
Yeah,
it was 225, so it'd be 450. Yeah.
But I think we told him it was 250. I think you told me it was 250. I'm not sure.
But times two. He's got 2 driveway entrances.
Times two.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It will come in far less than that, but I need to go ahead and do the project.
Okay.
So do we need, an actual...
We have nothing from 47.
...from him to yes, he will pay?
Yeah, we need to get that in writing. Yeah.
That's what we need next on that one.
Yeah. So can we communicate with, I forget what his name was.
Mr. Drew.
Drew. Okay, at 49 Idlewise Drive.
Before you send that, I'll get you a hard number.
Okay.
That way, it won't scare them off.
Yeah. And 47 has to be.
They have to have filled out a driveway application permit, correct. Just for people on the line, we're coming up to the 2-hour mark, so we may lose you temporarily here. I have my cell phone now on in this call, so it'll be just a temporary transfer from one phone to my phone. Okay.
Do you guys need me anymore?
I don't think so, Kelly. But thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly.
Yep, thank you.
I'm going to reach out to the folks at number 116 Idlewise Drive. This, again, is a late summer project if we ever get dry enough weather like we have now.
Yes.
That will be that culvert down at Thusis, the Thusis culvert.
I want to meet with you on site to look at that.
Yep, okay, we'll do. I want to go over some 91A requests. We have some 91A requests from Mark Rapham, Terry Warren, and Adam Leiser. And I want to first start with Mark. He's got quite a few pieces of information that he's requested, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, I know he was looking for... Was he looking for the QuickBooks?
No.
Financials?
No, that was Adam.
Okay. So I replied to Terry... on the pond levels and the widening of Idlewise Drive. She was looking for a survey of Idlewise Drive, and I don't believe there's ever been a survey of the entire road done. In other words, a map and deed and all that, I'm sure we have a deed.
Did I lose you? Okay.
Donna? Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
All right.
Go ahead, David.
Now I can hear you. Who's this?
This is Jay.
Oh, this is Kathy. All right, you cut out there for a second.
Yep, that was a changeover. Yep.
Okay, all right. So you said you, that there isn't a survey of Idlewild Thrive per se.
Right.
Is Donna
so,
still with us?
Yep.
Yeah, she's here.
Yep.
Okay.
So there's no,
right.
I'm sorry, there's no survey that I know of Idlewild Thrive. In other words, a map that I could lay down in front of somebody showing exactly where the road is. But the properties that are abut Idlewild Thrive are, in fact, surveyed. And that's our survey information as to where that road exists. I know this homeowner that's requesting this information, her lot is actually pinned with the road. They're designed pipes or pins. And so she knows where the road begins and where her property begins. So that's all I could tell her. But as far as the widening of Idlewild Thrive, we've never had any correspondence or discussion or decisions amongst ourselves or the DPW about widening that road that I know of. I found no correspondence on it. So there was really nothing that I could send her with regards to correspondence about widening the road. So I think we fulfilled that 91A request. Kathy, were you taking a look at some of Mark's requests?
No.
Okay.
Well, Mark's requests were the minutes and the audio, so we'll plow through as much of that as we can this afternoon.
Yeah.
Adam's request, I replied to him through the office that the videos he wanted prior to us going to this format belong to Madison TV, so he'd have to reach out to them, and
yeah,
that the audio from the March 25th meeting going forward we'll be posting on the website. He does want the entire QuickBooks file, which we didn't know exactly how to interpret that, so I believe the attorney is going to give us some advice on whether or not that's even legal or doable, or how we go about getting him the information that he wants.
Okay.
So he's been responded to and provided with some of the information.
All right. And one other individual I may have forgotten, David Mosley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you refresh me as to what David may be requesting?
He just wants all his
to scan.
Scan stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The checklist. We were able to finally get it from the town.
They did send it over. Okay.
Jay went over and picked it up, Kathy, after your phone call.
Okay.
So that's
okay
in the office, but that's about another 30 pages, if not more. It's never been put on electronically to our website or anywhere. We just have it with the yearly annual meeting information. So I do have it in the office. I did put it aside with David's stuff so that he can get it. But, you know, I don't know what protocols we have because of the office being closed.
So, Kathy, Donna also showed me a stack of papers that David has been requesting and that she's actually been compiling based on his 91A request. And it's a good 5 to 6 inches thick.
Yeah.
And my thought is, and we don't want to have those documents. Those are original documents. We don't want to have the original documents leaving the office.
They can't.
Yeah, they can't.
It's not legal.
Right. So if he wants to retrieve these documents and then run them in through a scanner in his own home or somewhere else, we could give him a copy. And so the question becomes, well, do we charge him for all these copies? And
well, we have to.
That's what the attorney told.
Yeah. So we would have to charge him for these copies because it's a lot of paper and a lot of time. And So we need to at least make that offer to him. That should be the offer to anybody right now, wanting any document.
But he doesn't want copies. That we've already gone down that road. Well, let me throw something else out to you as maybe an option. If on a day where Donna's not working, maybe on a Friday, if one of us could go to the office and just, because one of us has to observe any handling of our documents, allowed him to come in and scan in his pile of stuff, and then nobody would be in there Saturday, Sunday, you know, to make sure the office is clean and not contaminated by any virus. I mean, I don't know how Donna feels about that.
Well, my only feeling is I'd be only too glad to do it, but then that sets protocol for every resident in this
community.
We have to go by what the governor is, recommending for offices, and that's why we're closed. Don't know what the answer is. I know Jay had mentioned something like this. We were going to reach out to NHMA to see what protocols was. I don't know if that was just yesterday that Jay mentioned it. I don't know if he had a chance to do that yet, but I think that's something we have to look into.
I'm pretty sure Mr. Mosley said he did not want us to make copies.
Right.
He doesn't want to stack a copy.
Unfortunately, that may be the only option. I want to provide him with options and then let him choose. So we can at least email him with regards to making the copies and then charging the 25-cent fee that was
recommended.
But also I want to reach out to NHMA to see if there's anything else, any other ideas. I'm sure a lot of municipalities might be having the same issue. Other concern I have, and I want to just back up what Donna's concern is. Donna is our only administrator right now. If Donna becomes sick, we're in trouble. I'm going to do everything in my power to keep her healthy and safe.
Okay.
She doesn't even visit stores up here. I have a condition. I'm usually chronic to bronchitis and any type of influenza or flu, like, or even a cold. So I'm trying to be as careful as possible myself. And I'm trying to limit my exposure, and that's what we've been asked to do.
It was a thought, and I didn't think it through full enough, apparently. So I withdraw my suggestion.
Okay. But let's try to find an option that would be amicable to David. And the same, I guess, would be for Mark if he's actually looking for visiting the office or anything to that effect. So I'll talk to NHMA today, if that's okay, Kathy, try to get a solution, because they may have ideas that other municipalities have already exercised that we may not be aware of.
Well, even if you try scanning, I mean, we tried, taking pictures of the documents and downloading them and scanning them, sending them, and the files are so big that they don't transfer. So, we have tried other options to make this all work.
Right. Yeah, I mean, our technology here may not be the best, and it may limit us, but we still have to try to get the documentation that they're requesting to them as some way, some form. It is their right.
Okay. All right. Let's get through the rest of this meeting. Because the sooner I can get to the office, the sooner I can get the audios up that we have and the rest of those minutes.
Okay. And so
are we keeping our beaches? accepting or denying the EPOA's request to do their barbecues on the beaches in July and August?
Well, what I wanted to do is maybe wait until the 16th of June when the Madison Selectmen meet, or actually our Thursday after that.
Okay.
I don't think the EPOA is expecting an answer right away. They just wanted to know that was a tentative plan. And, of course, we don't know what's going to happen in August, so that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. And then,
okay, thank you.
You know, it may be that the EPOA would have a plan on how to keep socially distanced during this event, because with so many other venues very similar to this, like the Snack Shack at the ball field is not going to open this year. The Freiburg Fair, obviously, is not opening this year. That's months away. People have already made these decisions, and the EPOA may have to add an extra couple of tables to separate the servers from the receivers. You know, maybe a plan might have to be in place to go forward, but let's just wait a little while to see what the governor says, see what Madison says, and then take that guidance and go forward.
And I think, too, Jay, I mean, when Freiburg Fair cancels, it's because it takes months and months to plan the event. So in the unfortunate, situation where they can't open, they would rather be proactive than scrambling at the last minute to cancel something that they've been planning for 4 months. So
yeah. Yep, okay. All right, and Kathy, you were going to take care of Adam's 91A request?
Yeah, I'll work with Donna and yes.
Yeah. All right. And we had another email correspondence from Mr. Stan Lewis wanting guidelines from us on cutting trees in his property or around his property. And I don't know of any guidelines except if the tree starts falling, just run as fast as you can. I know we don't have any guidelines, but if it's anything to do with public service, they're not usually going to cut a tree. They're going to wait for it to fall. They do have come out with seasonal trimming, keep branches off of the lines. But other than that, I don't know what else we can provide him.
Well, he's not on the water, is he? Is he a water lot?
Let me see where his address is in Idlewild.
As long as he's not shoreline.
Yeah, he is down by the water. Not sure which side he is on, water side or the wooded side, but he is on a road that has water on one side.
Well, that would certainly have an implication on tree cutting on the water side.
Yeah, that'd be under the Shoreland Protection Act. Okay. You may want to just reference that if he is adjacent to water or stream. You may want to check with the Shoreland Protection Act. All right. Okay, and Primex has some now virtual trainings online, and the NHMA has sent us their quarterly magazine. Mm-hmm. So we've got some good stuff going on there. All right. As I just read a letter from Gloria recommending the appointment of a resident to the empty seat, I've also gotten some input, one person in particular, that'd be Paula Doyle. Kathy, have you gotten any input from anyone as to who might fill the empty seat?
No.
Okay. Do you want to go into non-public session? We're going to go into non-public session to talk about the possible reimbursement for Adam's driveway. Do you want to also go into non-public to talk about filling the empty seat, or do you want to wait another week on that?
I'd like to think about it. And I know, unfortunately, I think the best way to go into non-public would be if you and Kelly and I could be in the same room and resolve that issue, if that's possible. I mean, I know we did it a week or so ago in a non-meeting, So if that was possible to do again, we could pick a day just to do that alone. I would prefer that.
Okay. All right. So
I've got another meeting Monday morning, so that's the only time that I would be unavailable. But Tuesday morning, if you want to do a Tuesday morning, non-public, it would be posted as a commissioner's meeting, but then we would go right into non-public on Tuesday morning.
That sounds good.
Okay.
All right, so we'll make a motion to go into non-public.
And you like it.
Yep.
And
no, actually, we're going to make a motion to have a commissioner's meeting on Tuesday at what time?
9 a.m.
Yep, okay.
That'll be June 9th.
Yep. We have to start in an open public meeting and then go to non-public within the meeting. Yep.
But I can be at the office, and I think you and I and Kelly can sit enough apart, and Donna. So I think there's enough, at least four people can kind of social distance adequately in the office.
Okay, don't forget to wear your mask.
I have plenty.
Okay.
All right.
I'll post that today.
All right. Thank you, Don.
Okay. And we'll put it on the website and make sure everybody's aware.
Okay. Super.
Now, let me ask you this, Jay. So, Jay, I've done this in the past, and I don't know if it's correct or not, but if we know the meeting's strictly going to be, you know, we're going to open the meeting and go directly into non-public, to say that on the website or in the postings, is that a legal way to do that? And I think just so people know that they're not calling in and then 2 seconds later they're off the line. So is that acceptable to say that it's for the purpose of a non-public?
You can say that, but we also may have some house cleaning issues. For example, we have this pending signature of this very large check to the contractor after we review what has actually been completed. And to be honest with you, we may actually have questions in which that Tuesday meeting would be a very appropriate time to talk about those issues. So
okay.
There may be
all right. Okay, that's fine. So we just post it as a regular commissioner's meeting then.
Yeah, because if there's something that is urgent and we could use that meeting to vote on that, then that would be a great opportunity to do so.
Yeah, and just take some of the stuff off the plate for Thursday.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Remember, Jack,
okay.
Jay, we need the checks to do anything like that.
Yeah, I already got them.
Oh, good.
Yep, they're here.
Thanks, Diane.
All right, so, okay, so I think that might be the best solution so far.
Okay. And at this point, I don't have anything else, so I'm going to open it up to the public. If anybody has any questions or concerns in regard to things that were discussed either at this meeting or if you have any other issues that you might want to raise to the commissioners, you've got the mic. Okay, hearing silence and crickets, I guess everybody's enjoying their cinnamon buns. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. I'll make that motion. And the time is 11:18, seconded by Kathy. Any further discussion?
Yeah.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, so Don, we'll see you in a little bit. So, Jay, are you in the office now?
Yeah, I'll be going out, so don't worry.
Okay, so at noontime, I'll be down around 12.
Okay, thank you, Kathy.
See you then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.